You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Hello and welcome to The Breakfast Table.
I'm Ferris.
My name is Alex.
And I'm your host, Brad. And today we are here because it is E3 week, finally. The week where all game announcements, pretty much the biggest game announcements, happen, telling us what we're going to be playing coming up in the next year or two, or now sometime in the next 5 years for some games recently. So we're going to jump right into it because EA has done their press conference. Yep. Microsoft just finished theirs an hour ago at time of us recording. And
Square Enix did some of their stuff last night.
Yeah, they had their Final Fantasy Kingdom Hearts kind of concert that they do every year where they kind of show off stuff. So they did that as well. Since that was the smallest one, let's actually just start with that.
Well, that actually wasn't really – all it was just because Kingdom Hearts last year, they – because Final Fantasy has their annual concert where they display Final Fantasy music. Last year, Kingdom Hearts had their own – concert, like world tour, and but they only had it in New York and in LA, and they announced that this year they're going to be bringing it to quite a few cities this time instead of just limited to two. And then yesterday was the first concert of the tour. I'm going to Atlanta in July, so yesterday was just the first stop, and they just decided to do it at E3. And all they really did was just announce the release date for Kingdom Hearts. There was nothing else there. All they did was just show a little splash animation of the release date. There was nothing else that they did there.
Yeah, that's right, because they actually showed an actual trailer during Microsoft
E3.
Yeah,
during Microsoft. Yeah,
yeah, because the release date, which is
January
29th? It's January 29th.
So far.
Tentative. I'll give it. I'll be okay with March because that's probably what we're really going
to
get.
I'm seeing closer to the summer, personally.
I'm only going to go with because of Kingdom Hearts release windows, at least for the past couple titles, have been in the January, March like window.
Yeah. January, because January is technically part of the 2018 fiscal year. So even though it's not releasing in 2018, it's still – it's still releasing in the year of 2018 for like their financial year, stuff like that. So that's why I think they're going to keep that date, because ending off 2018 with Kingdom Hearts 3 is going to push them way, way probably above expectations. So this is a smart move business wise. Plus, it kind of gives it gives them a little bit of room with Pokemon, Red Dead Redemption, whatever the heck else Nintendo decides to announce. Same with Sony, because so far it's been the Kingdom Hearts 2.8 did well last year in January. So I think it's a smart move. It sucks, but I think it's a smart move, to be honest.
Because if they would have released it, like, they could have released Kingdom Hearts in November, like, that would have been fine, kind of following the suit of, like, Final Fantasy 15 coming in that time period. But, like, if Nintendo decides, like, if Smash drops that month, Kingdom Hearts will probably eat the dust. Like, that's over for Kingdom Hearts.
That's true. There are so many games that can overshadow it.
Let's say Last of Us happens, it's over, you know?
Yeah, and especially with the rumor that Fire Emblem may be in December, I think that with all the stuff coming out in October, Nintendo having Pokemon in November and then December, I think January is smart.
That's true. And if they pushed it to March, we have so much already set to release in March.
Well, like just in general, like in February, like springtime.
Right.
Know, like think about it, like Days Gone, which is, you know, Sony's next major title as of right now. Like that's going to kill them. Like, even if the game doesn't do well, people are going to demolish them, especially on PS4.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say this now. February 22nd is going to suck because we have Days Gone coming out that day. We have Metro coming out that day. We have Anthem coming out that day. What? And if I remember correctly, Crackdown is in February. And someone said that they said February 22nd. Oh, so we have a possibility of four games coming out on the exact same day.
That's going to be a terrible weekend for gamers because everybody's going to be like, okay, so we're all going to play the release game this week, right? Yeah, Anthem. No, Crackdown. No, we're going to play.
I think someone made a joke saying like, oh, great. So for two of the games, they're online games, so we can expect them to have server issues. And while they're having server issues, we're going to play the two single player games.
Did they announce a release date for The Division?
March 15th.
Just barely.
It's a dangerous 3 weeks right there.
Yeah, that is.
That's like exactly 2 years, 3 years after the game of Division One.
And what sucks too is that tomorrow, I'm sure, especially with Sony, how Sony's been kind of playing the more of the front end of the year instead of the back end, you know, with Horizon, Persona. This year they did God of War. Last year they did Nier. Like, their first 4 months, 5 months of the year are very strong. So if they follow the same suit like they did last year and this year, the top half of the year next year is just going to be ridiculous all over again.
You know, if we think about it too, like if Ubisoft decides to like drop anything too, because, you know, Siege, when that came out, that was December. You know, For Honor was in that time period. We're probably going to get, if we get a new Tom Clancy unique game, you know, like Wildlands, that falls into the first quarter, air quotes. So
Splinter Cell. Oh, my God. Please announce it. Splinter Cell tomorrow.
Well, we didn't get Skate 4, but we got Skate 4. So
I know.
We got Indie Skate 4.
I seriously think that's Skate 4. They just didn't want to put EA on front of it. Like, if I see EA, I just know it's Skate 4. I'm going to just take it as that.
Yeah. And then, like, with what you're talking about with Ubisoft. Sorry, I'm dying.
Okay.
Assassin's Creed has also been confirmed. So we have that Assassin's Creed game. So is it going to be this year? I think it's going to be this year.
It's going to be a November game because it won't be able to compete in October.
Exactly. So, and with Ubisoft, and if they do announce the a new Splinter Cell game tomorrow, which is still very rumored, that most likely will be probably
pretty much
April's
a confirmed game. Rumor at this point.
With Splinter Cell?
Yeah.
Hey, now, Forza Horizon 9 was supposed to come out this year.
No,
so.
5. It was, remember?
Well, so those were leaks. All the leaks were true. They just got a couple. They got the numbers wrong. So most likely, I think the only one that haven't been confirmed is Splinter Cell and Dragon Quest 2, which is most likely Dragon Quest Heroes 2, if I had to guess. Or wait, no.
Wait, that already came out, yeah.
That already came out. Yeah. There was another. Well, no. Dragon Quest Builders 2. Sorry. It could be Dragon Quest Builders.
Well, they're also
too,
supposed
that was
to be remastering Dragon Quest 1 and 2 for the Switch.
Yeah, hopefully. So far, all those leaks have come true. So,
yeah, Walmart is trusted. Is a trusted leaker.
Apparently, they're really good at leaking information.
Yeah,
even
I like that.
What was it? Rage 2.
Yeah, like 2 days
team?
Later.
That was the greatest thing on Twitter with Bethesda. Like, I think they took like a screenshot. And, like, see, this is how you make a box art, and they're doing like, you know, notations on the picture.
Yeah, if you haven't seen that one, I think it's still the profile picture for Rage's Twitter account. Is them criticizing the mock-up box art that they created, going, "Yeah, you don't even have a real ESRB rating here. You forgot to put it in all caps for the title." Yeah.
There's supposed to be an anarchy symbol here.
Right.
It was fantastic. And then, like, a couple of days later, I think when more stuff started getting announced, like, from that leak, I think Rage 2 came back and said, "Thanks very much, Walmart." And I think it was, like, they tweeted it yesterday when a lot of people were starting to confirm some of those other games. They, like, retweeted it and said, "Thanks a lot, Walmart," or "Good job, Walmart." Someone along that line, just kind of just saying, "All right, Walmart, thanks for just, you know, leaking everything."
Mm-hmm. I just remember the fake account for Kaz Hirai for Sony. They tweeted out like a picture of Walmart going, "Just got to E3. Can't wait to see what games are released."
Kaz Hirai hasn't even been a dude at Sony in like 6 years.
I know, but his fake Twitter account is still active.
Which sucks because he said this is his last E3, I think. So after this E3, he's going to retire the account.
That's going to be sad. I'm going to miss that account.
Yeah. Well, I guess on the side bits of the some things we've heard that are happening at random things outside of E3, Microsoft, they had their big conference today, like not even an hour ago, about 2 hours ago. So
it started at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, and it went till about 5:30, 5:45.
Yeah, it was a good hour and a half, which is the normal for their conferences.
Yeah, because I was wondering, I was like, wait, don't they normally get an hour? Why are they still talking, you know?
Oh, they normally go past an hour now. Like,
yeah, even Sony is about an hour and a half now.
I think the only company that doesn't go to an hour is Nintendo, because they just do a quick 30-minute Nintendo Direct
now. It better
be
an entire hour of Nintendo Direct. That's it. Or iRiot.
Remember, with Nintendo, they have their Treehouse stuff afterwards where they actually go in depth with the gameplay and stuff like that. They almost show zero gameplay. They save all this stuff after like the Treehouse, which is like a few hours.
I'll take 5 days of Treehouse if that means, you know, I get an hour of direct. Oh, E3 is already done. Yeah, but have you seen Zelda? Have you seen the new one? Hey, stop now. I'll move. Stop yelling at me. Overall, yeah, like it was a pretty meaty conference. I wasn't expecting this from Microsoft.
It kind of started off a little bit weird because they showed off Kingdom Hearts, Sea of Thieves.
They kind of teased Halo in the sense of, hey, we shouldn't have made Halo 5.
Right. like a remastering of it and something like that. Mm-hmm. And then it just kind of was very... Nothing exciting was really announced at the beginning.
Yeah.
Even that Battlefield trailer, like yesterday when they showed off like the multiplayer trailer, they're like, you know, see a trailer for the single player content tomorrow. And it was like a 30-second trailer. And it was like, this made no sense. I'm excited for Battlefield, but that trailer just made no sense in that conference. It was like 36 seconds long.
Can I say that trailer? Because I didn't really get to watch the press conference. I was listening to it, more or less. Mm-hmm. That trailer confused me so much when the language changed and I couldn't understand anything that was being said. Because I was just like, hold on, did my stream just change over? But I can't check my phone right now to make sure. What is going on right now? This makes no sense. And then it went back to English with the voice of world premiere. I was like, okay, well, I guess that
world
was a thing.
Premiere.
Because it's a one of those side stories that are in Germany. So you play as one of the characters. I think she's like German or Russian or something. So that's why it was all in a foreign language. But yeah, I agree with you, Brad. That the first half was very interesting in a way.
There was nothing to pump you up. But the second half, they knocked it out.
It's like the moment they hit Forza. We're really like near because it was kind of like what am I looking at? Like once we hit near, it just kind of took off because, you know, we got Nier Automata that's coming out actually in like 3 weeks. It comes out very soon. We got Nier Automata. Then we got Forza Horizon 5. I mean, 4. Then we got what was the next thing they showed after that? I'm trying to.
I know
Tales
they showed.
Tales, the definitive version.
Yeah.
I was expecting them to say it's backwards compatible now, but that's probably now not going to happen because they're releasing a definitive on the Xbox.
Yeah, that confused me because it's coming out with all the what was once exclusive content for the PS3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the PS3 copy
in Japan.
Yeah, it never came out here. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is coming out for PS4 and Switch, so it's not going to be exclusive this time.
Whoa, Switch?
It's coming out for the Switch. They confirmed it's the page shows Switch, and it's up for pre-order right now on Amazon for Switch. So yeah, I'm probably going to double dip on PS4 and Switch sure. But most likely it was shown at this conference because it was exclusive to 360 when first released. But yeah, so after Tales, it was. What was it? They started showing some indie stuff. like their montage of indie stuff.
No, it was like Happy Few, and then they started talking about all the companies.
Which that
they
game
own.
Still looks so fantastic.
It still looks so uninteresting.
It reminds me of BioShock.
A lot of different things here.
I like me with We Happy Few. Don't get me wrong. Like it looks cool. I can see why people are like really enticed by the mystery that the game is. But like at the same time, I'm looking at it. It's like wow. I can't wait for Hello Neighbor. That's going to be pretty nice. Like, that's what it looks like to me. It looks like something it's going to be a flash in the pan, but they're hyping it up so far that it's going to not get to the expectations that people are thinking.
See, I kind of agree with you because I'm looking at the game and going, that's going to be an amazing story, but I don't want to play that game, but I want to know
the story.
Right,
like if someone gave it to me, I'd be like, yeah, I'll give it a go, but like I don't think I'm actively going to go get it.
That's why Game Pass
is important.
Yeah, the gameplay for it doesn't look fun to me, but I want to know the story. The story has me enticed enough that I want to.
It's a BioShock-esque type of story, it looks like, which is always intriguing. And getting to that point with We Happy Few, that section I think is what surprised a lot of people because Microsoft announced their new first-party studios. And to be honest, I don't care about the other people. The biggest surprise was, of course, they acquired Ninja Theory.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was very interesting.
Well, it's actually a pretty good lineup of studios that they got, too, because the entire concept of it, I like, is that they're grabbing these indie studios that are known to be making good games, and now they're going to have Microsoft money backing them.
Right.
That's an amazing concept. That's something that I know Nintendo tried to push back in the N64 days with grabbing small studios and being like, yeah, we'll back up whatever games you want to make and release them on our console. And that's how Rare really got its kickstart, was they had Nintendo money backing them
up.
You know,
we wouldn't even have Smash Bros. If we didn't have HAL Laboratories, you know, getting that. I'm wondering, is Platinum technically Nintendo owned, or is just Bayonetta?
They're pretty much just funded.
Now, they have exclusive games that Nintendo owns, like, rights to, because I think didn't they buy Bayonetta?
No, they definitely have the IP to Bayonetta, and they also Wonderful 101. They have the wording to that too, licensing. Yeah. But
because Nier Automata, that's Platinum, and that game was made by Square Enix. So I think a lot of these studios are just contracts Platinum games. But a lot of those games, like the studios, own the IP. So Square Enix owns Nier Automata. Nintendo owns the Wonderful 101 and Bayonetta.
Microsoft owns, you know, Scalebound.
Scalebound.
I really, not even kidding, like completely tying off of Scalebound. Like I saw when they revealed Devil May Cry 4, I legitimately saw white hair. I saw upbeat kid and I saw scaly arm. And I was like, are we doing this? Like, is Scalebound uncanceled? And then they're like, and then I saw like the vroom vroom sword. That's what I'm going to call it. The sword where he revved his sword. And I'm just like, it's Devil May Cry 5. Okay. But like, that's when I was like sitting there. I was like, wait, are we rebooting the series? Or was that like a honeymoon phase for the other game?
That's where I just want to see your emotions on a graph where it's just going up and up and up, and then it plateaus for a moment where you're confused, then it just starts skyrocketing.
I'm way too excited for this, just because like there was a guy in the store, like this dad, who like he looked like he only played like MLB every year, right? And then he's like, is that Devil May Cry 5? Like, and I was like, yeah, I think that's Devil May Cry 5. I was like, I loved 4. Nero got no love. And I was like, yes, he did not.
Yes. And this game looks insane.
It looks like, good.
It looks freaking insane. And then the guy even said on stage, he said, like, it's like, we're bringing it back and we're making it crazy this time. And I'm so excited. And I can't believe it's been 10 years since 4. I mean, we did have the reboot, but that was kind of like a side story. Which now
that's a failed reboot.
That was a great one.
In terms of sales and everything.
It was a great one.
It was fun. I played
it. It was a great game, yeah. But Ninja Theory. But now that Ninja Theory, you know, has Microsoft money, I mean, because it left off on a sequel note. So we'll see.
I wonder if I highly doubt Devil May Cry 5 is going to be exclusive to Xbox, but I wonder.
No.
Yeah, I'm assuming just because, like, I'm assuming there's going to be a lot of titles that are probably, like, crossing between the two. Is just that Microsoft was the first one of the big two that would have it. So they just showed it off when they had the chance.
Yeah, it's especially because it's coming from Capcom. Capcom loves Sony.
Well, they've been showing a lot of love to Xbox over the past couple of years.
Right, but at the same time, they're not going to leave a Sony console behind for a big title like Devil May Cry.
Yeah, look at Monster Hunter. Look at the sales and stuff for like Monster Hunter. Capcom loves Sony. There's no way they'll ever...
Look at Dead Rising, you know?
But that ended up coming to PlayStation.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's the Sony love. Like, they're coming back. They're allowing these titles that were exclusive to go over to Sony.
Yeah,
so
I think they put a lot of faith into the 360, and when it didn't pan out in Japan, that's when they started pushing more towards Sony and kind of doing it on both sides. Because, there was a little bit of time there at the beginning of the 360 where it was like, oh, yeah, this is going to be the first Microsoft console to really push, you know, a Western market into Japan. And Capcom was 100% behind that, and then it just did not pan out at all.
Yeah, because you had Lost Planet. That was a 360 exclusive.
Tales
and then you had
Vesperia.
Dead Rising.
Yeah.
There was another Capcom game that came out that was exclusive to 360. And then all those ended up coming to PlayStation at some point. But yeah, and like you agree, it was because they thought the 360 was going to be a huge success. And the funny thing is, like, there's a lot of RPGs on the 360. A lot of these Japanese developers, Capcom and stuff like that, they were back in the 360, but they ended up failing. And, you know, they had, like, a lot of those RPGs, like Last Remnant Infinite Discovery, Capcom stuff,
Blue Dragon,
Tales of Vesperia. Yeah. There's a lot of backing for the JRPG side on the 360, and then after that failed, that's why for the longest time we never saw our JRPGs on the Xbox.
Well, personally, I feel like that came from like there was that phase between like Final Fantasy 12 and 13, so about like 3 years where we didn't see any form of Final Fantasy. So it's just like everyone who could get in and do it cheaply got a game out onto the Xbox, because you know also at the time PlayStation 3 was super expensive to develop for, because obviously you had to make it on Blu-ray, you had to deal with their system and all that, which was incredibly powerful for the time. And they were like, well, we're going to get these JRPGs, we're going to get them onto the Xbox. So that's how we got, you know, Eternal Sonata, Infinite Undiscovery, Last Remnant, Lost Odyssey, all those. And like, they were amazing titles. But yeah, as you said, like, it was the way to try to break through to Japan. But then they just saw them as DVD players and they just didn't really go any further than that.
Yeah, the games didn't sell well here in the U.S., and the console didn't sell well in Japan. So it was people that would play those games weren't buying the console, and the people that had the console didn't want to play those games.
So Capcom broke even, really?
Pretty
Microsoft
much.
Really just took the hit.
Yeah.
Oh, and another one was, because Eternal Sonata, that ended up going to PlayStation. And then there was I just had it in my head too, and I forgot what it was. Star Ocean. Mm-hmm. Star Ocean 4 was originally on Xbox only, and then they ended up making an international version on PS3. So that was another big RPG. And that's kind of one of the only really small issue I had with this conference, and I don't want to say it was an issue because I loved everything that was shown, is that you can tell that Microsoft really just paid a lot of money to these third party developers so they can show their games on the Xbox, because it got interesting when we started seeing all these amazing third party games. And I don't think there was one exclusive Microsoft game that I was like, holy crap. Like when I saw the Show and Jump game, that was amazing. Devil May Cry, amazing. But like, I feel like with this one, they basically said, hey, here's some money. We want to show your games at our conference. And it worked out because it was a better conference than they've had before, but it still doesn't make me want to go out and get an Xbox. There may be one or two games I could get, like Crackdown and stuff, Gears, but most of my excitement came from those third-party games.
Well, I'll say, with Crackdown, with that trailer that they showed with gameplay and everything like that, I expected them to mention Crackdown. Then they kind of started showing it off, and I was like, okay, they're going to give us a little something. And then all of a sudden, it's Terry Crews in the game, just destroying stuff. And it's like, okay, you sold me. I am apparently going to be playing Crackdown 3 when this comes out.
I cannot wait.
Right.
Well, they showed him off last year. He was announced when they first showed off Crackdown. They showed Terry Crews. There was no gameplay.
Right.
No, there was gameplay.
I thought it was just him voicing over though during that one. They didn't show Terry Crews as a character in the game.
Yeah, they confirmed he was going to be in the game, but I don't think that they got his character ready when they announced it, because they said his character was playable in the game. And they showed some gameplay, because they showed off a lot like their cloud destruction, how you know they're going to use the cloud for like better destruction and stuff like that. So they showed gameplay, but yeah, this is the first time we actually got to see Terry Crews going around destroying everything, which was great,
which was amazing in every way possible. It's exactly what I want from a video game that I never knew I wanted from a video game.
Exactly.
Because if you would have come up to me and been like, hey, so we got this game where you play as Terry Crews and you pretty much just rampage through a city, you sold me. I don't care what else is happening in that game. You have sold me on that game right there.
The exact reason why I'm watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine right now. That's the exact reason.
Such a great show.
But one thing that kind of pulled me in it, speaking of like the third-party games that were like super exciting, I'm like, yeah, these are actually a little bit better than what Microsoft probably put way too much money into. But it was also some third-party games that I was just kind of like, yeah, these are coming out. Why are they coming out again? Like, I felt that way about Metro Exodus. Like, they showed it last year, and it was still kind of confusing back then. I was like, okay, it's just a Metro game, so weird dystopian Russia. And then we get to the trailer again, and I'm like, still weird dystopian Russia. Still don't care. Let's keep going. Like, personally, I'm not a fan of it right now.
See, I kind of felt that way when they showed off Wolfenstein 2 last year. Just, why is this a thing? And then they started going into it and showing how they're just going off the wall with it. And I was like, okay, you sold me on this. I didn't know that you were going to manage to pull that off, but you've sold me on this game. The Metro series still hasn't done that for me. No. I still haven't played a single Metro game.
There's no reason for them to show Metro this much. The reason why is because Metro is still considered one of the most demanding games on PC, and I think they just wanted to, they're really hyping it up because of the graphics. Metro series is a phenomenal series, but it's definitely not for everyone. It's a more atmospheric series. But I think that the reason why they're hyping it up this much is because they know the people who play Metro, they know how hard it is to get it on high quality on a PC, and they're trying to show them, hey, this is what it looks like on Xbox. I'm pretty sure that's the reason why they're hyping it up so much, because it's a niche title. It's a very niche title made by a studio that not many people know of, and it's a very small scope type of game. Well, it's open world this time, but I feel like they're hyping it up so they can show off their Xbox X enhanced, you know, stuff. I think that's why they keep on bringing it back every single year.
Yeah. And then also, like, going to the idea of, like, with Game Pass and everything, with some of the things that were exposed, I'm liking the fact that they're biting the bullet. They know that there's not a lot of people who are buying Xboxes for their specific games, but they're making it so people who do have Xboxes or people who are looking into getting it, they're not going to be spending too much to play their games. Like, with the whole Game Pass, like, almost every major title that they announced at E3 this year is going to be on Game Pass and only $10 a month to play it.
On day of release.
Yeah, because they did that with State of Decay. They did it with Sea of Thieves, and they're looking to do it with Forza. Also, that's kind of weird. We also don't have a Forza this year because Forza's been yearly for a minute.
It's October. It's like October 2nd.
No, what I'm saying is that we don't have a Forza mainline title this year.
Oh, okay.
Because they usually come out concurrent.
Okay. You're talking about Forza Horizon versus Forza Motorsport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So that's the only thing. Like, we don't have, like, a mainline Forza, but it's still cool that, like, we have all these major titles that are going to be on there. I don't think Gears of War is. I don't think they mentioned that as a Game Pass title.
They didn't mention
they did.
a date for it, though.
Yeah,
I think they did.
I don't think they get a – did they give a release date?
2019.
Oh, okay. Fall next year. But either way, it's just, like, also glad they're taking time on that because I don't want it to be a back-to-back thing. But still, like – we have all these major titles that are coming out, and they're saying thank you for owning an Xbox. And then even so, like, when Todd Howard moseyed his ugly self onto that stage, he was like, hey, man, I know we rehash games a lot. You want to play some Fallout 4? $10? I won't let you do it. Also, here's Fallout 76 so you can get angry at me again.
The only thing about that, though, is that – They can still take these games off at any moment.
Yeah, so that's
They say that most games last on there for about maybe 3 months or so. The ones that are made by Microsoft will stay forever, from what I understand.
Oh, yeah.
But the games like Fallout 4, that could be gone by the time Fallout 76 releases.
Yeah, it's just a foot in the door.
Yeah.
Because what is it? Siege has been on there for, I want to say, since the start of Game Pass, or at least last October.
Has it?
Yeah, it's been on there for a minute.
Yeah, because... Well, even talking about Fallout 76, this is I love Fallout.
This is a great segue into Bethesda. I like it.
Yeah. I love Fallout 4. Mm-hmm. I love Fallout 3. I couldn't play New Vegas because I got stuck in a game-breaking glitch about a third of the way through it.
I got hit with a game-breaking glitch with New Vegas, too. It's like I started the game, and then it just – the story didn't exist, so I gave up.
So, my first glitch in that game was right when I got in the game, the first person you meet, his head started spinning around like an owl.
I've seen that. That's like a really popular glitch, too.
Oh, was that a really popular –
I've seen a couple different videos, and that's the only thing. Like, that's the first thing they show is just his head spinning. I was like, all right, man. Well,
okay, I didn't know that was a big glitch.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's almost as big as Assassin's Creed, like, Unity is, like, the textures not being there for the faces.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, I didn't react to that.
Me either. I'm really surprised on that one because I played it day one, and I was the lucky one, I guess.
But managed to get that one copy that had all the textures pre-patched in.
Yeah, I was even the one person that didn't have a problem with Assassin's Creed 3 when that came out, and that game was boogie. It was bad.
I agree with that, yeah.
But Fallout 76, like, from what I'm seeing, like, I mean, from the rumors of what they're talking about, saying it's supposed to be like a Rust-esque kind of adventure, meaning, like, I guess for people who haven't played Rust, like
fully online.
Yeah, fully online. Think like a Borderlands with an online community instead of playing just with your friends kind of thing. And if they execute that properly,
it's going to be amazing.
It's going to be great. Yeah. But Cinemax is on there a little too much for me. So be ready for ESO if we get it.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I think. I think this is going to be Fallout online. This is basically going to be Elder Scrolls Online, but with Fallout. You're going to have expansions to it. You're going to have. I don't think there's going to be a subscription. I don't think they're going to do that.
I don't think they would have any player base if they put it on a subscription model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. This is definitely FO, what are Fallout Online. So, but and I think that this is basically their segue to kind of. Say, hey, here's a Fallout game, kind of like with Elder Scrolls Online. It's like, hey, guys, we're still not announcing Elder Scrolls 6, but here's an online Elder Scrolls game to keep you tied for the next 10 years until we announce Elder Scrolls 6.
You know, if they do a Fallout Online, even whether it's a Rust experience or if it is actually like an ESO kind of experience, I'll still play it. That's the thing. Like Elder Scrolls, like their problem was that they tried to make it feel like Elder Scrolls. Like, you know, you still, you know, you had to press left trigger, right trigger to swing your swords. You know, you had to cast your spells a certain way. And it felt like you were playing an Elder Scrolls game, but you still have RNG and all this other RPG stuff that you weren't expecting to have in the game. Like, with this...
Fallout already has those elements.
Yeah, it kind of has that idea of, oh, I don't know if my bullet's going to hit because these are janky weapons. Or, oh, yeah, my weapon might break on me in the middle of battle. That makes sense. Or, oh, yeah, he did damage me because I'm probably just wearing a tarp. You know?
Yeah.
Like... I'm okay with these things because of the way the world is built. The MMO concept can actually work on it.
Right. Yeah. And it's one of those things, even when people are going, oh, yeah, it might be like a player's unknown battleground. And I was going, that doesn't feel like Fallout, but I still might play that if it ends up being that way. Because the Fallout universe does feel like the perfect place for that kind of online experience. They already have the groundwork for the story and why everything is the way it is. And even if they have it where you can build up these towns and then they're disappeared by the next day, within the world of Fallout, that would make sense.
Right.
You know, like, it everything story-wise falls in perfectly for what you could do for this game and have it in that online environment.
Right. Like, even if you decided to go down the route of, like... Let's say you start off as a normal vault dweller, right? You come out of whatever vault you do. Let's say everyone starts out of 76 because that was the one that was supposed to be the birthing of life
right.
when it opened, right? So let's say everyone starts out of 76 and then they go off and do their world. And then let's say you go down the route of, oh, I'm going to join the New Brotherhood. Or, oh, I'm going to join – New Brotherhood. Brotherhood of Steel. Or I'm going to join – I can't remember the other people right now. But
it's always a different group in every game.
But like if you – like, that would be cool to go down that route where people are like, oh, I went to do power I went to do power armor training. And like there's – since there's different variants if we've seen, maybe we'll see the different variants of power armor. Like depending on how much time you put into it, you get a stronger power armor. Like that would be cool to see. Or like people are like, oh, they're starting off and they have wood weapons. You know, as you go on, like, oh, yeah, now they have laser weapons. Like – that, even though it's almost the same progression that you would see in an Elder Scrolls game, but since it's all medieval, somehow it just doesn't work. But when you get to an idea of a catastrophic world where they're rebuilding but have the technology to do more than just hit people with swords,
right.
It works.
It's futuristic tech put in a place where people are like, okay, well, we don't have batteries to run any of this stuff anymore, but we still have all the circuits and everything, like, so let's see what we can do.
There's a derelict of a circuit city over there. I need you to go over there and get some batteries. I'm like, yeah, we'll get some batteries, you know? And like... So if they do it that way, I'll play it and I'll probably get sucked into it. But even if they do it as a Rust situation where it is like a co-op game where I'm playing with friends and I'm still gathering these items, but it's a little bit more like obtainable and not as, I guess, grindy, mm-hmm. I'll still play it. It will, like I really don't think there's a road they can go down that's wrong unless they somehow make this a poor Fallout 4 co-op experience. Because if they do that, then yes, they failed.
Yeah, because – there are definitely ways they can mess this up, but there's a lot of ways that a normal studio could mess this up that because it's Fallout, it could work out still. You know, you can't do that with every game franchise and just kind of change its entire gameplay style. But with Fallout, I feel like you can almost do that, especially in an like online environment.
I feel like it's their most tangible series.
Right.
It's the one where they can do really whatever they want and people will still buy it. Like, you know, think about it. People put money into Fallout Shelter and it was literally just directing vault dwellers to do jobs in a vault. And I put money into that game. Like I shamelessly speaking.
That game was fun though.
I put easily $50 or more into the game. And I don't even think that's the correct number and it's probably higher. But I enjoyed the living crap out of it.
I just remember always getting the vault dwellers to come in and then being like, yeah, your stats are too low. Just go into the wasteland.
Yeah, go die. Yeah.
Like you're going to be out and I remember having one person out there. I turned the game on. It was like, yeah, this person's been running out there for a good like 300 something days. Mm-hmm. Oh, good for you. You're not dead yet. How did you? Oh, you have a lot of stuff.
Oh, you found literally mini nukes. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks. But I guess speaking to the idea of like possible rehashed games and Bethesda and their ways, I'm going to go with it and say we're getting Fallout 4 on the Switch this year. You know that, right? Like, I'm going with that.
Very possible. And I don't like ports.
Uh-huh.
But it's very possible I'll rebuy Fallout 4. Just because I loved that game 100% when it came out.
I just want to see a dystopian Mario. Like, I want to see how they can make Mario weirdly irradiated. Like, what if you can find a Death Knight that has a Bowser back? Like, what if you can find...
Or Deathclaw, you mean?
Death Knight, yeah, Deathclaw. That's what I meant. What if you can find a Deathclaw with, like, you know, spikes like Bowser? Or what if, like, you can find gear that makes you look like, you know, since Fallout's no question to dressing up like a woman, you know, like, you dress up in Peach's clothing, you know, like... I think that'd be really cool, you know?
Yeah, there would definitely be a lot of possibilities from the add, like, little Nintendo touches
snippets
to,
and stuff like that, yeah.
Especially when they were willing to do that with Skyrim.
Yeah.
With the Legend of Zelda kind of equipment and everything like mm-hmm. that. So, yeah, I would definitely probably replay that game mm-hmm. for a third time.
Yeah, and I guess speaking of remakes, too, Todd Howard, he's around. He's doing his stuff with his curly hair and remakes, and I might get Fallout 3. But, you know, that's it, you know. Nothing else that I've really heard of.
That's a rumor that tonight they're going to announce a Fallout 3 remastered.
I'd be okay with that.
It's the 10th year, by the way.
Yeah.
So. Yeah,
it's definitely – and that could be a – because I know there's – Fallout Shelter is supposed to be coming to consoles because the trophies, I guess, got leaked. So I'm guessing that's going to happen. But there's a rumor that – Fallout 3 Remastered is going to come out and it's going to be available today.
Fallout Shelter on the Switch?
That's dangerous.
That's my money. That's all my money. Why do you need a $50 eShop card? Huh? What? Oh, I'm buying Mario. There's not a new one, huh?
Dude, didn't you buy Mario last week? Yeah.
Yeah, I gave it to my friend. Digitally?
Stop questioning me.
Yeah, like we're like that. That would be dope to see. Fallout games on the Switch. I'm not going to mention others. And we're probably going to get Fallout 4 VR for the PlayStation this year.
Yeah. But didn't they already release Fallout 4 VR on like Oculus and stuff?
Well, no. Yeah. Like last year with Bethesda, they leaked it. Well, not leaked it, but like said, hey, yeah, we're going to release Fallout and Doom VFR. And yeah, obviously they came out like – I think they came out for PC first and then they leaked – they put Elder Scrolls and then Doom on the PlayStation VR. But they've kind of held on Fallout 4 for some unknown reason.
If
I think it might be just too demanding.
Even if they release it as like a fully priced like $60 game again, I will rebuy that game to play it on VR along with a $200 VR headset.
Yeah, just to click and walk.
Right.
Well, considering that the one that you because it's $250 for the VR and it includes Skyrim VR, which is the full Skyrim experience in VR. So I think that if they do that, it should be the full Fallout 4. I would love to do the VAT system in VR. That'd be so freaking cool.
Yeah, just like point at it and like what part you want to hit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That'd be cool.
I just
imagine
need...
having the VR gun. The
yeah,
VR
like, what if Farpoint worked? Like, what if the Farpoint controller worked with Fallout? Like, what if that's the reason
that'd be amazing.
Why it's taking long?
You guys would stop here. You'd be like, hey, we're at the studio to record the podcast. Brad, where are you?
Just give us a login. You got it.
I trust you guys. Go ahead. You're good.
It is going to be interesting for Bethesda because, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be another Doom. But last year, last year they announced, Evil Within, Wolfenstein,
they announced
Doom
a
VFR.
Lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they announced a lot, but then now, like, this year, it's like, well, what do we have? I mean, they announced the, what was it, Dishonored 2 DLC. So they had a bunch of stuff, but, like, this year, it's like, what do they have? I mean, like, they have Fallout 76.
Yeah, they have Fallout Doom 2. Yeah, they, like, maybe, like, this is a high, very low hope, but maybe Elder Scrolls 6.
There has to be
that
something.
That one's not happening.
Maybe.
Yeah,
they have nothing left. I highly doubt they're going to announce another Dishonored. I highly doubt they're going to announce another Evil Within. You know, Doom 2 is a possibility because they apparently have like artwork outside on something for where the Doom stage is going to be. Apparently they have Doom show picture shown up. So there's probably going to be a Doom announcement of some sort. But besides that, I mean, they only have the three: Elder Scrolls, Fallout, and Doom. Unless they have a brand new IP. What else has Bethesda made? Oh, sorry, Rage. They're going to show Rage.
Oh, yeah. Rage 2.
We keep forgetting about Rage because it's just not needed, you know?
Yeah, it was leaked for – and even when it was leaked, people were like, no, that's fake. They wouldn't make a sequel to that game.
Why would they make a sequel to a game that's like, you know, 7 years ago? Wanted. You know, and that's how I felt about when I saw Sessions. I was sitting here like, wait.
Oh,
wait.
The Skate. Come on. Like, I was like, skate.
Well, no, that's where I was like, wait, there's no way that's actually Skate. Only because I was like, why wouldn't have EA said that yesterday? Why wouldn't they have brought up their entire conference? I don't understand why they wouldn't have had people tune in, you know?
That would have been what got people to go, hold on, EA is – we got to watch EA's thing.
Right. Like, there's no way that was Skate. But, like, I looked at it, and I was talking with a friend, and we're like, yo, dude, that's Skate. And I was like, wait, there's no EA badge. But it felt right. It was Skate.
Like Skate. It felt like Skate.
Not only that, but like even the song that was playing.
If anything, it might be Everybody Golf. It might be how Everybody Golf had to rebrand. You know, like from Hot Shots. So maybe just Sessions is like how you say the word Skate now. Like, yeah, dude, I'm going to go to the session park. You know, whatever. If that means that, I'll take it.
But
I'm just trying to think what else Bethesda can do. I mean,
I don't think there's anything else for Bethesda. But there is one game that was announced during Microsoft's press conference that I'm curious on Ferris's thoughts on this one.
Which one?
Dying Light 2.
Yeah, now that's a game. All right, dude. So I know you saw Halo Infinity.
Do you want to play your background story and why?
Okay. So I happen to work at Undisclosed Gaming Location Number 1. So if I ever wanted an incredibly easy sale where I don't have to work at all, it's Dying Light. For the normal guest, the person who comes in and is like, I want a game, and all I play is Call of Duty, I'm like, boy, do I have the game for you. Like, it's so easy to – like, Dying Light hits all the categories, right? You have guns. You have MacGyvering guns, so you can make – well, not guns, but weapons. So you can make, like, a shock bat if you want to with a battery and some wire and a bat. You have parkour. It's first person. It's four-player co-op online, and it has zombies. That just – it's perfect. Like, there's nothing about that game that's – it's not perfect.
It's a fantastic game. Even – it meets all the notes, and it does them all perfectly as well.
Like, the parkour feels beautiful. Like, even, like, on a controller,
it's better than
great.
Mirror's Edge at times.
Yeah. A game that is parkour.
Right.
Like, Mirror's parkour. You know, it's terrible. But, like, and just, like, even – and this is a tidbit for me with Dying Light. Not a lot of people know this, but the voice actor for the main character in Dying Light is Sonic's current voice actor. So –
is it really?
Yes. Yes, it
is.
Oh,
wow. I didn't know that.
Ever since Sonic Colors, the guy who does Sonic Colors – also did the voice acting for Dying Light. So the main character, you hear him saying obscenities, angry at zombies, doing all kinds of crazy things. I was like, Sonic, man, you all right? Everything all right at home? You know, it's just that. And it's just like the Dying Light was just always a great game, whether it be a sell for me where I'm at work, or if it's just even a situation where I can just wind down and play it. And the fact that I have Dying Light 2 on the horizon, one, I'm expecting this game to be sold out nonstop. And I'm also excited to play it overall. You know, and I also was thinking you were going to somehow point at me and talk about Battletoads. I don't know why.
Surprisingly, that didn't get as much praise as I thought it was going
to. Because everyone thinks it's a troll. Like, I don't think I met a single person I've talked to yet that I think somehow whoever makes Battletoads, I don't remember who does.
Rare. Yeah.
That counts as a remake for a there's a check on the thing.
There's another bingo sheet.
So I'm pretty sure most people who are at that Microsoft press conference has worked at a undisclosed gaming retailer. And if you have worked at a game retailer, I'm pretty sure you've gotten a certain prank call about said Battletoads game and you're sick of it.
Right. Like, so like I was sitting there like, wait, if this is real, I'm going to get phone calls about an actual Battletoads release game, and I'm not going to be able to be angry about it. Like, I'll have to actually help that person.
Well, hold on. They pulled that same move with the Rare Replay.
And I definitely tell people about that.
Yeah. Where they handed out badges.
Killer
going,
Instinct.
Yeah. Ask me about Battletoads. Do you remember those name badges?
I do.
Oh.
Yeah, they went full circle with
that. Oh, they 100% grabbed onto that. Like, oh, we can turn the meme into marketing.
Money? But yeah, like, that was a surprise. I truly don't – I'm not going to – that's – outside
Battletoads or Dying Light 2?
Battletoads. outside of Kingdom Hearts, that's the other game that I'll have to have in my hand to believe.
Really?
Yep. Yep. That's the other game.
Well, even the trailer for it was very, like, out there. Like, you know, these three people would have to come together. And I remember watching it going, I don't understand any. What three?
I thought there was four characters.
I was like, I couldn't figure out what it was. It was like three guys. And like, I was like, I don't know what. At first, I was hoping they were talking about Fable because Fable has co-op and stuff like that. I was like, is it a Fable game? And then I saw the graphics. I'm like, nope. And still no Fable game.
Yeah, Fable's done. All right. You know,
it's sad. It sucks.
I'm a Fable fan. I played Fable 1 a lot. Trust me. I still feel bad when I killed Thunder because I wanted to marry the Queen of Bowerstone. Whatever. You know, like, I feel bad about it, but they died. Because they didn't want to make Fable Legends a game that would have failed, but I would have still bought. Or, it's whatever. Maybe I can get a remake of Fable 1 again. Maybe I can get a remake of Fable 2.
Just remake of Fable 2.
Fable 2 Anniversary Edition.
Right.
How old is the game?
Fable 2?
Yeah, it's got to have an anniversary coming up.
2008. So, yeah. It came out. Yeah, same year. It was Gears of War, Fallout, Fable 2. It was all announced at E3 that year.
Yeah. And then we're forgetting about the biggest game, which was a furry Zelda game.
Oh, the little fox thing?
Yeah, Tunic. It was literally a furry Zelda game.
What game?
Tunic.
Tunic. Yeah.
It's basically Zelda, but with a fox. Looks adorable.
I looked at the game and I was like, wow, that's a nice game they're going to package with the Xbox one day. It's sad to say, like, same thing with Ori.
Man, Super Lucky Tail looks really different this E3.
But I think my favorite trailer, I think, besides, like, the Devil May Cry was Cyberpunk. That trailer was phenomenal. I don't know.
Nobody picked up on it when I was talking with them. Like, I was, like, sitting there. I was like, I just saw Project. No, it was CD. I saw CD in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Then halfway through, you can see Project in the random text.
See Project RD.
Yeah. And then when they typed in the password, it was red. And I was like, this is Cyberpunk. And they're like, what do you mean it's not Cyberpunk? But they didn't even say anything. I was like, you're not even looking at the trailer.
you're not paying attention at all.
It was so good. I mean, we all knew it was going to be shown at E3 just because Microsoft loves CD Projekt Red. They even gave them an exclusive collector's edition for Witcher, which made a lot of people mad. but yeah, they have a weird relationship with CD Projekt Red. And I mean, it was cool how they ended the conference and they kind of hacked the conference and stuff. But man, it's the Cyberpunk game that, as much as I love Deus Ex, this is going to be a freaking amazing Cyberpunk game. It's going to be great.
I'm going to take this as my way of being able to play Shadowrun in a video game form.
True. Yeah.
That's how I feel it. Yeah.
Yeah. You're right.
It's going to be a fun game. Will
we be able to run it?
In about 5 years.
Yeah. You know, when because Witcher still can't be run properly with the highest end graphics. Like, you have to have literally a $2,000 rig to run it on low.
I'm trying to remember where it was, but somebody did a build of 4 GPUs running Witcher 3 and going, look, guys, it does run at full capacity somewhere.
Like, I want someone, this is just a complete side bit to, I guess, a not a terribly optimized games or games that are just incredibly demanding. I want someone to build a computer somewhere that can run Grand Theft Auto 5, Witcher, Metro, and Crisis 1. All at once, without the computer literally exploding.
Four different monitors, one for each game.
Or I'm okay with you know how they do the CPU testing, like the overclocking contest, like the dude pouring liquid nitrogen on top of the CPU, like it better not overheat.
And you got to add Deus Ex Mankind Divided, because I heard that one was a ridiculous game as well. The second Deus Ex reboot game, I heard that one was stupid.
Well, hold on. We can get that cooling system that Intel was using for their press conference a couple weeks ago.
Literally last week.
Was it just last week?
You're talking about a
Computex? Yes.
Yeah.
Where it pretty much looks like an airplane turbine for the cooling unit.
That was for the limited edition CPU that they're giving away.
Yeah.
Like, no wonder you're giving it away, because nobody's going to be able to use it. Like, someone's going to have a custom loop that's going outside the case into their nearest AC unit and then back to the computer again. Also dipping into some coolant from their car just so it can work.
The best part is going to be when people are like, why is my house always 110 degrees now?
Well, that happens anyway. If you have a computer in your room and you don't have liquid cooling, it's already hot.
Is that meme, the meme with the dog is where he's in the this burning house? Like, this is fine. This is fine.
I'm okay with this.
Oh, man. I just can't wait. Like, I feel like that's going to be one of those viral things where, like, someone – you know how, like, the guy with the bottle caps, like, he paid for Fallout like that? Yeah. Even though he severely overpaid. You know, like, same thing. Like, someone's going to win that, and then they're going to have the viral event where it's, like, person who wins free CPU from Intel, house burns down.
Trying to cool it.
Oh, my God. But, yeah. No, I'm excited for Cyberpunk 2077. It looks unique. It looks like something I'll enjoy. Obviously, I still want to see a little bit more before I'm, like, super invested. I mean, CD Projekt Red, they haven't made anything that's necessarily terrible. I mean, Witcher 2 and 1 are pretty bad. But we're not going to talk about those because those are games that don't run in 4K.
They weren't bad games. They just weren't Witcher 3. Best games.
They weren't Witcher
3. Yeah, those were the games that they made it with the money that they had to get their name out. And if they had the budget of, like, they did a Witcher 3, I think they would have been great. But CD Projekt Red, they were getting their money from the government, I think, and the government didn't really give them much for Witcher 1 and 2. They gave them a chance with Witcher 3, and then with the success of Witcher 3, basically Poland basically said, here's all of our money for Cyberpunk 2077. Like, they came out and said, yeah, we just got fully funded for Cyberpunk. They were so excited for it.
This is so weird. It's like, you know, some countries, you know, they give you food. Some countries, you know, they give you, like, housing. But Poland gives you money as a business to make games.
Yeah. Well, I can say it was good. With Cyberpunk 2077, they don't really have to show me much to get me invested in just because of the company and the idea and everything. If they come out and just be like, oh, yeah, and it's just a side-scroller game and you only have one weapon the entire time and there's only one level and it's $60 at release, I'd be like, eh, I might still give it a shot. You know, it might be okay.
You know, the sad thing is that's exactly what happened to me with Bloodstained, you know.
It sounded like a terrible game, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, this is actually...
Well, no, I was super hyped for it. Like, and the funny thing is, so I'm like a huge Castlevania fan, and I couldn't care less about Symphony of the Night. That is the game that is considered the holy grail of Castlevania, and I think is one of the most boring ones in the series. And the same guy who made that, you know, since he's, you know, Castlevania Jesus, is making Bloodstained. And I'm like, it's kind of weird 3D Castlevania. I don't know how that worked. Look at Mirror of Fate, you know, and it didn't look too great. But then it started doing really well. Like, people loved it, right? And I was like, okay, maybe. Maybe I'll get it. And then I just got super – I was down the rabbit hole at that point. It was as soon as I started liking it, it was done.
Yeah, because that one's more of a Metroidvania kind of
– Well, yeah, it's still a Metroidvania, but it's just like it's more actually – since it's not Castlevania, it's a Castlevania game. It's a Castlevania-inspired game. That's Castlevania.
Pretty much.
But that – and then, like, when he reached his Kickstarter limit, he ended up making another game called Curse of the Moon or Curse of the Night. I can't say Curse of the Moon. That's licensing. But he made that, and it's a 2D scroller that looks exactly like Castlevania 1, and it was $10. And I was like, give me it. I'll play it right now. I have not stopped playing it. I've had it for 3 weeks, and I have beaten it like 6 times because it's just – it's good. So just to kind of go out there and say that, like, yeah, with CD Projekt Red, like, a company, if you see a name, no matter what the idea is, you'll go for it.
Yeah, especially if the idea is something that you're already interested in. You put a game studio behind a name. Like, as soon as they showed, like, Insomniac Games and then Spider-Man, I was like, I don't care. You already have my money.
I did that with Sunset Overdrive. Like, even the game. Like, right. I didn't care about the idea.
And like that new game that was announced at Microsoft, From Software game, I know a lot of people are going to buy that because it has From Software on it.
Neo 2. We're not actually.
I thought
Neo
it was
2.
Tenchu. I literally thought it was a Tenchu game.
I saw the sword and I sat there and was like, this is Neo 2. It hasn't even been like a full 2 years yet. Why are we at Neo 2 already? Even though it's not by them at all. I saw FromSoft and said Neo 2, and that's Team Ninja.
So not only wrong game, but completely wrong studio.
You got Team Ninja, and then Ninja Theory, and then you have Platinum, and then you have From Software. Apparently a lot of people get those companies like mixed up.
Yeah,
all indie studios that have managed to make some pretty good games.
All indie studios that are weirdly into crazy frantic gameplay styles and every game they've made has been perfect. You know, Suda 51 gets thrown in there too.
They deserve it though.
Suda 51 is one person.
Well, yeah.
He's just like
they as the company.
He's the same. He's like the dude from Tekken, like the guy who does not care at all. The guy who comes on the stage with like a full like outfit and like literally has sunglasses on, and he's just like, I know you wanted the jiggle physics out the game. We're not taking them out, whether you buy the game or not. Thank you.
That's Team Ninja. That's Team Ninja. They have the mask. They have the really big
Suda 51 is up there too.
You know,
though.
Dead or Alive 6, that got confirmed recently.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, that Dead or Alive 6 is happening.
And it's a new engine, I think. Yep. I think they confirmed that's a new brand new engine.
Back in the hands of the people that know how to make a good Dead or...
Well, right now they removed the boot physics, so no.
Oh, well, that sucks. Because the last game wasn't that good, if I recall correctly.
Dead or Alive... What was it?
Five.
Oh, five, yeah.
Five. It was good.
It was good, but it just... The problem with Dead or Alive that it's always suffered from, even Soul Calibur suffers from it, all the 3D fighters, really all the fighting games kind of get roped into the same idea. It's like how you know like your parent looks at it and it's like, is that a Pokemon? That's kind of how people treat 3D and 2D fighters. Like they look at it as like, is that Street Fighter? Was that Tekken? Like that's what the 3D fighters suffer
the
from.
The only ones that really kind of get like, you know, noticed differently is stuff like Mortal Kombat and Injustice. Those two games are kind of out of that circle in a way because they see something like Injustice and Mortal Kombat by NetherRealms. I feel like they're in their own little.
Well, yeah, it's because they have their like, you know, their more recognizable things like, oh, that's Scorpion, that's Mortal Kombat. Or, you know, Injustice, oh, those are superheroes, is Injustice. You know?
Yeah.
Like, and that's what sucks about Dead or Alive and Soul Calibur. Like, it's awesome that they're getting reboots this year. They're both getting a 6, which is also funny.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's great that they're getting reboots possibly this year.
They don't have their characters,
but they don't have anything that sets them apart. Yeah.
The niche community.
Only one that people recognize from Dead or Alive is Ryu Hayabusa.
Yeah.
From Ninja Gaiden. For Soul Calibur,
Nightmare.
Yeah, Nightmare, and then also Ivy.
Yeah.
There you go.
But they only recognize. But the same thing goes for both of those games. The only thing that pulls people to those games is there, weirdly enough, and don't crucify me for this, for the hypersexuality, but like...
You're right.
But the boot physics, right. That's realistically what brings people to it. And like, it's unfortunate because Dead or Alive kind of lost out on a lot of their audience here because they didn't allow the last beach volleyball, which for very understandable reasons, did not let it get imported into the country.
That's right.
They banned that one real quick because it's seconds away from being actual pornography in a video game standpoint. And it's been a long time since we've had an AO for very good reasons. They've been really good about it.
Yeah,
so,
wasn't the last one Playboy Mansion or something
like that? It was San Andreas.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, because it got bumped up to AO. It
That's
didn't release
right.
that way.
Mm-hmm. That Agony game was almost AO, and they actually got because they were going to release a AO patch for Agony, but then they got denied. It was supposed to be for PC only, and they denied it. They denied the AO only patch for Agony.
You know it's
going to
exist. You know it's going to happen. Someone's going to get a hold of it, and that's it.
I mean, that happened to which one was it? Manhunt, where
Manhunt got banned. It's not banned here.
Well, no, they patched it, but somebody found out how to reverse the patch.
Mm-hmm.
So it uncensored everything.
And the funny thing is that Grand Theft Auto, when it got an AO rating, it was AO for what the PC version could do.
Not only that, the PC version for something that was locked down, there was no way to access it without a cheat device and everything like that. And scene was in the PS2 version.
You couldn't get it.
You had to use a cheat device to access it.
You couldn't access it on PS2.
Really?
It was literally the hot coffee mod. It was purely a mod that you could only get on PC.
Okay.
From PS2 because there was no way of using a cheat device that could access that part of the game. Sure, you could do cheats and all that, but you couldn't unlock that part of the game. You couldn't go that deep into the disc.
Because I remember there was the original print run versions of San Andreas for the PS2 skyrocketed in price because it had that part of the game on it before it got reprinted.
Okay.
Yeah,
because I was like, getting ready to say, I was like, that's so odd, you know? Because
I think you could use a Game Shark or something to access it still.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I remember people, because that one section you had to use a Game Shark to access was on those discs, it became rare.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no way to prove if it was the right disc or not. So
people just could sell it like, oh, $70, you know.
Yeah.
But I guess tying back to, Dead or Alive 6, I'm curious to see how it's going to be. I mean, it still looks like a really solid fighter. I'm excited for that. And same thing for Soul Calibur 6. But it also, it's kind of been hush-hush. We didn't really get too much from them over E3 so far. We haven't heard anything about what a release date might be for the games or anything like that. So
probably during Sony's, because Dead or Alive has always been a big Sony.
Dead or Alive had a lot of ties to Xbox.
Did it?
It's had a lot of ties to Xbox over the years.
Dead or Alive 5 was only on PlayStation.
No, it wasn't. It was on Xbox.
Was it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was on Xbox.
They released it early on PlayStation.
Maybe I think about something else.
They released it early on PlayStation, then they had the final round on Xbox.
Yeah, okay.
And then the same thing goes with, like, but you also think, like, Dead or Alive 4, right? Dead or Alive 4 had Master Chief, well, not Master Chief, Spartan-esque character that was actually a girl Spartan, but that was...
Dead or Alive 4 was exclusive to the 360, wasn't
it? Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yep. Dead or Alive has always been an Xbox title. Like, I mean, Dead or Alive 2 and... Well, 1 was Dreamcast and all that, but 2 and 3 were kind of like mismatched, but, like, 4 was on Xbox. So yeah. They have their weird ties with them, but either way.
But we'll see how that one turns out. Mm-hmm. I didn't care for the last one, but...
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, like, if anything, like, once we get off of here, we're definitely going to be super hyped up to hear about what's happening with Bethesda.
Oh, yeah, because that one actually starts in
about an hour
and 20 minutes.
About an hour, yeah. And, yeah. Like, we're right now we sound like happy folk. Maybe next week we'll come back and we'll be planning our trip to Bethesda.
Yeah, so, yeah. Next week we might be off podcast because you'll be hearing in the news... Three people just ran into Bethesda Studios just screaming why over and over.
One of them had a weapon, but it wasn't really a weapon. It was more like a thing to sign with. Sign his life away. You know, yeah. He didn't deserve what he did. Get Todd Howard.
They just ran in, one hand wallet, other hand documents for their will. I don't understand.
Man storms Wikipedia building. Let me edit Todd Howard's Wikipedia page one more time because he's a stinky poo-poo head.
Oh, and I looked it up. The last actual AO game we got was in 2015.
Really? What was that?
On Steam, it was the game Hatred on Steam.
I heard about that. Never mind.
Yeah, that is AO. That is an actual AO game.
Man, that game.
Yep. So
that was a game.
The game, yeah. If you can call it that. But either way.
Yeah, and then. Well, kind of tracking back, because we mentioned Sunset Overdrive. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised we didn't get an announcement for Sunset Overdrive 2.
Or the Definitive Edition.
Or, yeah. Well.
Yeah. I think I was talking to you about this yesterday, Brad. I think that if another Sunset Overdrive comes out, I think it's going to be multi-plat. I'm sure it's going to be on PS4 as well.
Because that game definitely got hurt a little bit in sales because it just – the people – that would blindly buy an Insomniac game didn't really have an Xbox One when that came out. Or they weren't looking to buy an Xbox One when that came out. Most people were PlayStation diehards that have played Ratchet and Clank and Resistance, Spyro, original trilogy. Everything that Insomniac Games is known for has been exclusive to the PS3. PS2 or
Sony in general.
Right.
You know, the funny thing is when I went to go – so like I remember fondly. That was 2014. That was like November 2014. I went out and I was like, I need a new game. Like legitimately just wanted a new game and obviously still working at Undisclosed Place, number one. It's 4 years now. I like walked in and I was like, I don't really know what I want to play. And then I thought about it. I was like, Sunset Overdrive. And I just picked it up. Could not stop playing it. Every single minute of that game was ridiculous. Every single part, all the jokes, all the stupid stuff that could happen. I loved every single minute of it. I even had points in the game where I felt like I had that one friend who said something incredibly corny and I was ready to just fight them over it. That's how I felt about the game. Like there was a point where there was a mission in the game. I guess spoilers. You have to climb two different towers. And when you go there, your character looks up and is like, well, we have to get high. And that's it. That's all he said. And I was just like, I'm going to turn this Xbox off right now.
I hate you, but I'm going to keep playing. But I just know that I hate you.
So, Sunset Overdrive, like I was – yeah, like when I saw like the little weird – like when I saw the stuff leading up to Devil May Cry because they had that weird like smiley face thing in the beginning, I saw that. I was like, what if that's Sunset Overdrive? And I look at it. I was like, oh, I was super wrong. That is not Sunset Overdrive.
So your emotional train on that trailer was – hey, that Sunset Overdrive. They're going to do Scalebound. It's going to be.
It was bad.
And then it's Devil May Cry 5. This is Devil May Cry 5.
Yeah, I think I watched, like, that was equivalent to seeing my firstborn child, that whole, just like the emotional roller coaster that is that. I think that was close enough.
It started off on a, oh, this is going to be okay, to a, this is going to be amazing.
18 years? Yes. So, yeah, like, I. Yeah, the Microsoft conference was actually pretty, like, exciting. I just want to see how Sony will one-up that conference entirely.
Sony's is on Tuesday, right?
Monday. Monday.
Is it Monday?
Monday at, like, 9.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Yep. I don't work, so I'm looking at it.
Yeah, and with Sony, they've already come out and said they're going to show off their big four. So Death Stranding, Spider-Man, Ghost of Tsushima, did I already say Death Stranding?
No, Days Gone.
Not Days Gone. So it's Ghost of Tsushima. Oh, Last of Us. Last of Us, Death Stranding, Ghost of Tsushima, and Spider-Man.
So Days
now,
Gone 1.
How much are they going to take up the conference with those games? I don't know, but I think those four games are going to take up a lot. I think they're going to announce a lot of games, but they're going to spend most of their time with those. Yeah. So set expectations beforehand so people can't just be disappointed. So I don't know.
I'm still hyped for Bethesda's tonight, and I know that...
I'm going to be upset.
Yeah, I just know it's not going to meet my expectations.
I guess as a thing to mention, like they kind of go into next week, I'm excited for whatever happens with Bethesda tonight or Angry. I'm excited for whatever happens with Sony. Ubisoft, I might not watch it. If I see Aisha Taylor, I'm turning it off. I'm not watching
one. There's one game from Ubisoft. If they announce it, I will love them forever. If they somehow bring back Prince of Persia, I will love them forever.
You're the person.
I was going to say.
You're the only person.
I haven't thought of that game series since.
Yeah, there's a reason.
2005?
Yeah. No, I don't think I want
Prince of Persia game.
Yeah, you know what the game you should be thinking about? A Splinter Cell. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's get that.
Oh, and Splinter. Okay, yes. I'm excited. I just said I was excited about Splinter Cell earlier, but I've been wanting a Splinter Cell in 2013, and it was not Michael Ironside. So, yeah.
I don't think we're ever going to have Michael Ironside.
I'm still mad at that they didn't have Michael Ironside Blacklist.
He might be Michael Iron Died right now, so we might not get him. That was a really great joke.
Well, they did bring him back for the Ghost Recon thing. Like, what they had that little
snippet,
event. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that event in Ghost Recon. It was Michael Ironside, so.
Maybe they just have him in the closet. Just have him there. It was like, all right, dude.
God, if they just used him for that, I think that'd piss a lot of people off.
Yeah.
Well, before we end today, there is one last thing about the Microsoft press conference I do want to talk about. Mm-hmm. The stage.
Yeah.
What was up with that?
The demo?
The demo kind of lineup on the stage. It just did not look like a press conference stage at all.
They used it once on stage.
Right.
And it was funny because like when they were doing the Forza Horizon thing, one, I don't know why they mentioned the car they mentioned. Like they mentioned the Nissan Silvia, which for car enthusiasts, it's the S15. They made like 1,000 of them for the country. So why would they mention that one car? And two, like it was funny when like they were going up to the person who's playing the game. It was like, oh, yeah, she's getting ready to play the game. Like she looked like she wasn't ready for the camera. I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. Fall out? I mean, Forza.
You said you wouldn't get this close. This is in the contract.
Phil?
Oh, and then every once in a while when they would kind of announce something, you'd have like the crowd cheer. And then every once in a while for like games like the Gears of War Funko Pop game, if you watch it again after they show the Gears logo, you have a lot of cheering. And then they show the Funko Pops and everybody's quiet. And then the logo comes up with the pop, and you hear in the background just one guy, woo!
There was someone.
That looks cool. I will download that on my phone. That actually looks pretty cool.
If it's free, I'll try it.
I mean, it's if it's free, you're going to download it if it's free. Don't lie. Don't lie. It's going to be a Funko Pop Gears for free on the phone. Don't lie.
I'm hoping next year, like as my final thing I say about the Microsoft conference, don't let Phil Spencer on the stage anymore. I'm done with him. He's been there for 10 years now. I'm done with him.
Can we get someone new up there?
Can we get Peter Monolix back?
No. Please? No, we cannot. We can't have him back either. Like it's just like every time I see his face, every time I see Phil Spencer, he always makes that face of the kid on the playground who just got his way. Every single time he announces something, it's like
that is true.
He like looks there, is like, yes, and we have Halo on Xbox One, and he's just like, yeah.
And then after that,
I'm gonna sleep good tonight.
Phil.
He gets hyped up, and then like it's the shirt too. Every year he has a really quirky shirt on, and I always look for it now. It's like that was actually a part of like the little checklist I did. He was like a little checklist of like, if he's wearing a cute shirt, check it. And it was just like I look at it and I was like, oh, it's a deconstructed Xbox 360 controller.
It's kind of like with what's his name from Sony. Like now, like every PlayStation experience, he has a shirt of game he's going to announce. So, like the first year, it was like Crash Bandicoot. And then the second time, it was something else. Like every time he wears a shirt to one of those events, it's a
shirt.
Are you
talking about
Sean
Layden?
Yeah, Sean Layden. There you go. I can remember his name. Yeah,
I wonder if he's going to have a beard this year. He had a beard last year, and it was pretty wild.
Who's the person that has the release dates for Halo 2 and Halo 3 tattooed on them?
The guy who doesn't work for the company anymore and he works on Destiny.
Yeah, okay. Just double checking, because I was like, hold on, I don't think he even works at Microsoft anymore.
Yeah, that's pretty embarrassing, I guess. Well, no, not really. I mean, he still made it.
Yeah, he still worked on it, and it's a pride and joy of his life. Like, he has the two best days of his life tattooed on his arms.
And it's funny, because it's probably neither one of them are his kids' birthdays.
Those are his kids, man. He spent probably years of his life on them.
They mean more to him than his kids.
It's like, yeah, I worked on Halo for 6 years. I worked on you for 10 minutes.
30 seconds.
Just, oh, but it, yeah, we need to leave. We're done. We can't. We're done.
I think we've hit everything we can. This is just going to go even more off the wall if we continue.
Yeah.
So, but as always, you can catch backlog of our episodes on iTunes and Google Play. Until next time, when we get back to the rest of E3 on the breakfast table.